What's up, guys and girls? Welcome to the Rock Hippie Adventures, and my name is Keith.
I'm Mel.
And we're chilling in our chairs.
Yes, we have new furniture in our studio.
Maybe Mel will post a picture on the Instagrammer.
Yes, because they're super stylish.
Actually, they're just, I guess they are stylish.
They're stylish. No, they are stylish.
Okay.
We kind of had a group effort on them.
Did we?
We did, because I showed you two chairs I liked, and then I had you pick which one you liked, and that was the one we got.
You know why I picked this one?
Arms.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's comfortable. It's like a little club chair, like a modern club chair for those people who know what that is.
Yeah.
And if you're Keith, you don't.
Exactly. What the fuck is a club chair?
This chair that you're sitting in.
I thought club chairs were like plastic and foldable.
Oh my God, no, babe. They're like chairs you would drink like whiskey in or something. I don't know. They're like fancy people chairs.
I'm glad you bought them then.
But these are knockoffs. These are not traditional club chairs.
Okay.
They're usually made out of leather.
Are they?
This is like polyester or something on this. I don't know. They're really nice and comfortable. It beats sitting in those damn kitchen chairs we had.
Yeah, well, I meant you know. Keeps you on your toes.
Yeah, and hard butt.
Yep.
But these are comfortable.
No, these are nice. And it gives us a little different dynamic as we're talking.
Yes.
So, welcome to the show. We are going to start a new thing.
Not a series, though. For those of you who know, we don't do series.
Yeah, we don't do series. We don't do that thing of parts and series and stuff like that. That's for other people.
That's for professional broadcasting.
And yeah, not we're not professional, so we don't do series. This is not a series. Yeah, this is not a series. But we're going to start for the next 5 weeks.
Yeah,
we're going to try this thing that Mel came across as a study from University of Rochester. If you happen to check our video on Instagram, you saw us asking for some help.
Yeah.
It's still open. If you're listening to this, you can go over to Instagram and find our post with our video talking about getting help on choosing one of the subject matters for this talk. So the University of Rochester did a study.
Yeah, it was newlyweds who they had in the program, and I think they were married for 3 years. So apparently, I guess, and I was not aware of this, but in the first 3 years, there's like a high divorce rate. Like people kind of, like that's like the first bump is like 3 years, and if you make it over that bump, I guess then it's seven after that. But anyways, so they were having couples watch movies. These couples may or may not have been on the road to divorce, but I guess they were kind of.
No.
I thought they were.
No, so
they were newlyweds. They followed them for 3 years.
Yeah, so the study study was in LA during like some conference or anything, but it was 174 newlyweds, and
that's right. They followed them for 3 years,
or those who were engaged to be married soon.
Yes, so they were talking about how the pre-marrying marital counseling, I guess it is.
Right.
But what they found out, so they wanted to know, is if they gave these couples movies that had relationships in them.
Yeah.
If their whole idea was, is it just as effective as counseling?
Right. So the study group showed that they randomly assigned all the 174 couples each. They're different groups. So some of the couples had no treatment. So they went through their first 3 years of no treatment.
Okay. So no counseling, no nothing.
Yeah, no nothing.
Just go about life.
Then a certain amount of the group had their regular workshops, lectures, things like that.
Okay.
Your normal type of
like marital counseling kind of.
Well, it's kind of like
just work, like relationship.
Yes,
building,
relationship building, marital counseling type things. Your normal Western treatment.
Okay.
You know, like
things.
And then therapy and things like that to continue to help the couples kind of build and grow. And then there was another group that were giving this study. So. In essence, this study is from the University of Rochester is the one who actually did the study.
So they gave them, you're talking about that, the five movies. And then they gave them questions. So after they would have to watch the movies together as couples.
Mm-hmm.
That was part of the requirement.
Yep.
Then they had to spend time after watching the videos. The videos had to be a relationship. We're doing ours based on a romantic relationship. But I think some of the videos, we saw the list of them. Or just relationships in general.
Yes.
But it had to be, day-to-day stuff, things that couples truly face to maybe even mimic their own relationships. But they provided them with a list of questions that they had them discuss for 30 to 45 minutes after watching the video. So it opened up those lines of communication.
Yeah.
And I kind of find it interesting too, because, you know, they're talking about fictional couples. So I think it's a great way for them to, you know, talk about their own relationship as they're answering the questions as well. They found out through the study after the whole thing was said and done that it cut the divorce rate, and it was just as cut the divorce rate by half.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just as effective as the couples who went through the regular counseling.
Yeah. With all the lecture hours, all the lecturing all the hours, homework,
that they could basically watch these
way
movies.
More intensive, yeah. Which can be a burden on a couple anyways, because you're trying to keep up with all that stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas couples who sat down, watched a 2-hour movie.
Yeah, together.
Had 5 or 6 questions to answer. Yeah. Spent about 35, 45 minutes talking about that in a direct line, open format for communication or for a conversation. Yeah.
And I'm sure it opened up conversations about their own relationship, you know. But yeah, I thought that was really interesting. Yeah, so we came across this study. We actually were just looking at trying to look at movies and relationships in movies. And then I just started finding a search for things, and I came across this, and I thought, well, this is kind of up our alley. Mm-hmm. It might be interesting to investigate and just look at.
Well, I'm a movie person anyway. So,
right, and, so this is cool.
And we were discussing, you know, where we were going to go after our last Not a Series.
Yeah,
and,
Breaking Barriers, yeah. Which you can check out.
Yeah, you can check out all the episodes that have already been released, all 28 of them. Go and check those out. One listen per episode will really help us out.
Yeah. No, they are interesting, though. We did myths, so if anybody's catching up now and you're onto this part, we did myths in relationships and came up with some really good valid points on things.
Right. So, you know, when we were looking back or we was trying to look forward to what we wanted to do next, I made the comment, Mel said, you know, I love movies, I said. So I was like, let's just get some relationship movies and break it down. And then she,
well, because of course, in our last podcast, you looked at we were talking about Jerry Maguire, yeah. And it kind of sparked this interest in you to think, oh, we can look at other movies and other relationships.
Right.
So I started doing my due diligence on my end and found the study, and then it kind of just married them together. I get it. Yeah. Put them together, and here we are. So we're going to be looking at our first movie. So Keith picked 2 movies, I picked 2 movies, and then we're letting our Instagram followers choose the last movie. So there's still time, like he said, because we're going to do that one last. So we'll keep reminding folks to throw out some choices or suggestions out there.
Yeah.
So he picked 2 movies, and I chose 2. I chose the first one we're doing today, which is Couples Retreat.
Yep.
And then I also picked A Star is Born.
Yeah, I picked American Beauty and
Mr.
and Mrs. Smith, because, I mean, there's no better relationship movie than Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
And those are 2 movies I've never seen, so I have no clue.
I mean, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, that's 2 hot-ass people doing crazy stuff in a relationship.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
We should have done 50 Shades of something.
No, we should have done 50 Shades of nothing.
I'd have liked it.
Wrong movie. We could have done Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. We could have done Episode 2 and 3.
Oh, yeah, your friend Paul said that.
Yeah, episode, I mean, come on, Anakin and Padme.
I don't watch that's that either, great, so I don't know.
That's a great, I mean, it's the crazy, I mean, it's the craziest story ever. From kid and kid, one kid falling in love with the other one, to the other kid killing the other one.
Oh, shit. Really?
One day you'll understand it.
Oh, damn. Yeah, well, that ends that relationship.
Systematically, it does end that relationship.
The divorce rate's high in that one. It's
oh, no, the divorce rate's low.
The death rate's high.
Yeah. Oh, man, it's substantially there.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Anyways. So there you go. Yeah, so we're going to be breaking down a Couples Retreat. I love this movie.
You know, when I was...
I love it. It's so...
It's stupid.
It's stupid, but it's so good.
But
it's just funny good. Like, come on.
At the same time, I'm looking at most of the movies, and a good bit of these movies are Vince Vaughn is in these movies.
Yeah, because we were talking about the one with Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, the breakup.
Yeah, the breakup. I don't put them together, though. It's quite interesting.
Four Christmases, is that?
Yeah, Four Christmases was great. We had a...
Was that Vince Vaughn?
It was with, what's her name?
Reese Witherspoon.
You watched that the first time over Christmas holiday.
Yeah.
It was good.
It was okay.
His brothers with the wrestling. Come on.
It's always Jon Favreau, though, and Vince Vaughn. Because
but they're so great.
Yeah. But they've been around each other forever. They write movies together, so.
No, you can't go wrong with it. We needed a comedy in there, too, because some of the other choices we have are pretty heavy.
Well, I mean, American Beauty is going to be one that's going to really flip your lid. Star is Born is just pathetically sad.
Yeah, that's why I picked it.
And Mr. and Mrs. Smith is an action movie.
Yes, I knew that. Yeah. I think I've seen that, but it's just been a hot minute since I've seen it. So
because it's hot people in it.
Yeah. I mean, both of them.
Right.
I really don't care which.
Anyway, so there's what we're doing. So a quick rundown again. We're taking a movie. We've watched the movie. We took our own notes. And then we're going to, on air, look at the questions and kind of talk back and forth about, like, what we saw in it, maybe a little bit into our own relationship that kind of, you know, relates to it.
Yeah.
But the big thing we want to do is kind of breaking down this movie in relationship format so that other people who might listen go, oh, you know what? Maybe I should do this. And maybe I should pick this movie in because I've got a little heads up, some notes to put in my pocket. And
there you go.
Do this with my significant other.
There you go. Perfect.
So we will be back in two shakes of a lamb's tail.
Oh, wow, babe. That was a lot. And Southern. We'll be back in two shakes of a... What'd you say? Just play that button, because I just fuckered that all up again.
Yeah, pretty much. But that's not Southern. No. Two shakes of a lamb's tail?
I've never heard that before.
Because it's not Southern.
Oh.
If it is, I don't know where the hell it came from.
Oh, okay. Two shakes of a lamb's tail? Damn, babe.
I mean, it's not like, you know... Your mouth is talking a dollar's worth of shit, but your ass can only shit a nickel's worth of it.
Oh, my God. It sounds like your dad. It's dadisms.
We'll be back in a minute. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show, and we're going to get started into our cinematic conversations.
Didn't you like that? It sounds so, like, formal and fancy.
I thought we was going to do, like, relationship cinema.
Oh. I mean, I could change it.
It's a little late for that.
Oh, did you already put everything that way?
Well, sort of, but not sort of. I don't know.
I like it. Cinematic conversations.
I'll go with that. Cinematic conversations.
And then it's like couples retreat.
Yeah.
It's like when you're trying to be fancy, but you just trash.
So couples retreat a little bit. You know, it's a Vince Vaughn and Jon Favreau written movie, which
love
Swingers.
Them both.
I mean, Jon Favreau is just doing great things because, you know, he did The Mandalorian.
Yeah, whatever that man touches is gold.
Well, not everything, but I mean, it's
most of it.
Yeah, but I mean, it's he's moving up in the world, especially since going from the MCU, moving into Lucasfilms, doing the stuff he's doing there. He's very talented. I'm not gonna lie, he's been doing a lot of good stuff.
Funny as shit.
No, he's a great actor. First, I agree, yeah. But I think he's a great actor because he's a great writer.
Yeah,
I think all great actors, especially comedic actors, aren't as good unless they're great writers, and I think that's what SNL proved over and over and over throughout the years. Most of our great comedians had, at some point, phased their way through SNL, and they learned to hone their craft there because
they're writing
everything.
Yeah, I agree.
But anyways, not to get too sidetracked because I can talk about that stuff all day long. It's a movie that stars Vince Vaughn, like we said, Jon Favreau, Jason Bateman, Faison Love. Because man, come on, Faison Love is one of my favorite actors, dude. He is just so stupid dry humor and great stuff. Kristen Bell, Kristen Davis, Callie Hawk, and Malin Ackerman.
Yeah. Was that Ronnie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's your group of stars in this movie. There's other people who are great, of course. I mean, you can't.
It's his dad, right?
Well, yeah. Vince Vaughn's dad who played. Actually shows up in the movie.
Grandpa Jim Jim.
Jean Reno, who plays Marcel in the movie, the guy who runs the island.
And you can't forget Salvador.
Right. But Jean Reno, or Jean Reno, or Jean, it should be Jean because he is French.
But Stanley with a C.
Yeah, Stanley with a C. Peter.
Oh, and then Monsieur Marcel. I'm such a bad friend.
Yeah, Marcel, that's Jean Reno.
Oh, yeah. I was talking about Stanley.
Oh, Stanley, yeah. Stanley is
with
Peter.
A C.
Sarah Finwitz.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then Alexa.
He's been in a few
and
movies.
Then Salvador.
I mean,
come on.
Salvador was played by Carlos Ponce.
He's hilarious.
Yeah, he's pretty good. But
encouragement. Boom.
And then, of course, Boba Fett is in it. Temuera Morrison. Briggs, the guy who's always there, the bald-headed guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I did not know that.
But Jean Reno is one of my favorite actors because of his movies. Just, I mean, he has some of the best roles
he's
out there.
He's just funny, especially in this.
Oh, he's funny, but I'm not, you know, normally I'm not used to seeing him play funny movies because right. Leon, if you've never seen Leon, it's a much-watched movie. And matter of fact, young Natalie Portman is in that movie as well. It's Leon the Professional. Some people know it as The Professional. I know it as Leon because I first saw it from the French release, and I was like, oh, my God, it's so funny.
Leon.
But, yeah, I mean, he's mostly an action movie, but he shows up in some good, funny movies every once in a while. But he did a good job in this.
Yes, so. For sure.
So there's your breakdown on the actors. the layout for this is we're looking at the main relationship in the movie. And for this movie, there's four relationships that takes place. This movie is good for relationship watching because it's literally about relationships trying to get better, heal, figure them out. I mean, there's a lot here. There's four relationships, four very different relationships.
Yeah, they did a good job about picking some very typical types of relationships too.
Yeah, I think this movie seems very. There are relationships here that seem very everyday life. Like, these are normal relationships you see in every couple. There are normal problems that you see with every couple.
Yeah, because you've got Dave and Ronnie, they're the everyday couple. They're working. She stays at home.
They got two kids.
They've got two kids.
He's a professional.
Yeah, yeah. So you know they're going through life. They're renovating a bathroom or the kitchen or whatever
house,
and they're doing all those things. So like that's a typical like relationship that exists everywhere.
Yep. And then you have Joey and Lisa, which is Favreau and
Lucy.
Yep.
Joey and Lucy.
Joey and Lucy. I'm sorry, I misspelled it. My notes, man. That's what happens when your notes are wrong.
It's okay.
Joey and Lucy. But this is the high school sweethearts. They got pregnant really young.
She was a cheerleader. He was a football player. Check the tape. Check roll.
And then you got the kid who comes in, and their relationship's built around the kid, not about them. So they never really...
did have the kid. They found out she was pregnant and then got married, did the right thing.
Yeah.
That's what we find out in the movie. The daughter's getting ready to go off to college. She's older, and they are clearly on their way out.
Yeah, they realized that the only thing that kept them together was the kid. So then you have Jason and Cynthia, which are the
weirdest, quirky people ever.
But they're very analytical. Everything is by numbers, by
PowerPoint.
Problem solving. Yeah, PowerPoint. This is probably the most unrealistic couple, but there are couples like this.
Oh, there are, for sure.
But this is the most probably non-everyday couple
that
you see.
They're not a feeling couple.
They portray a not feeling couple.
Right.
Mainly because I think Jason leads the relationship and she kind of follows in to keep him happy because there's where the emotions lie in her.
Yes.
She wants to have emotions, but he's so, you know, to the point.
Yeah.
That it's a little hard for her.
They're dealing with infertility, which of course is really difficult on any couple. And so they were the whole catalyst for this whole entire trip of this couples retreat, that they were basically like, we got to figure out if we've got something worth saving. We need for all of our friends to go with us on this trip because we got a group rate. And they had this whole PowerPoint presentation that they showed to their friends, you know, basically if they stayed together, like, they've got to cut bait at this point if they're going to try to have children and do other things with other people because of their age. So super analytical. They do crack me up though. And then you have finally Shane and his 20-year-old girlfriend, Trudy. Shane is recently divorced and he has met a younger, much younger girlfriend, Trudy.
Yeah. And his divorced wife, Jennifer, plays a part in all of it as well.
Yes.
So there's your couples. There's your main relationships. What's funny is that where you try to find, I think people will end up finding some commonality with most of these couples, depending on where they're at in their life.
I can see that.
Like I said, Jason and Cynthia are probably the least common, least likely to show that. But with the bouts of infertility, which, you know, some couples go through that. They might find that identifying feature there. The identifying feature for me in that relationship especially is that one accepts everything, like everything's okay, everything's going to be fine, we're going to make it, you know, because we're going to make this happen. He, Jason, feels that he can, by sheer will,
yes,
and find the answer.
Determination, yeah, yeah.
There is always an answer, and the answer is always going to be positive. But the problem is he's never listening. Like, you can see times where she's trying to say something and wants to present something, and he just kind of dismisses it or cuts it off. So where he thinks he's doing all the right things, he's doing all the right things by a book, by numbers, but it's not by how a relationship be handled.
Yeah. He literally drives her to the point where she jumps out of a boat in shark-infested waters to swim because she cannot take him any longer.
Right.
Like, he has just pissed her off to the point where she's like, I've had it.
So I think in this relationship, if most people will relate to it, and I think this is going to be more, I don't want to say this is going to be more.
It could be controlling, though. You could pick out somebody who's controlling. Maybe, perhaps, not just the infertility thing, or just not being heard.
Well, I think this is more of a, I think that for me, this is a classic sign of how communication is not done well.
I could see that.
Like,
yes.
You remember when we talked about, like, how communication is on both sides, how it needs to be, like, understood on both sides, how you need to talk to each other.
Yes.
Where Jason in this movie is always communicating, thinking he's doing the right things by the way he's communicating, but his step of listening and hearing Cynthia is kind of cut off. And
always lost.
Yeah, so he thinks, like, you think about the time where they're in the therapy session. It's like, okay, doc, how do you think we did? If you rate this session on, if we stay together 1 to 10, you know, how do you rate this? He's always trying to find a bar. He's trying to see if he's on the right path.
Yeah.
He's looking for answers instead of trying to find answers in himself or find answers in his relationship. He's looking outside the relationship.
He wants the validation that his work is doing the right thing, when in reality it's really not at all.
Well, because he needs some type of tangible, like, feedback instead of, like, just putting that effort into Cynthia. And communicating back and forth to build it through an organic type of communication.
And I also, to jump off of what you're saying too, I also think he thinks he knows what Cynthia is thinking. Do you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't think that she thinks anything differently than he does.
No, I agree.
And so there's no reason for him. It's like a team effort. Right, buddy? Right, buddy? Like, we're feeling the same way. We're feeling the same way on things. And really, she's not. And even if she communicated that to him, I'm not so sure that he would necessarily even hear her in that situation.
Well, he never did. And that's why she eventually jumped out the boat. So, and if you didn't know, there's going to be ass loads of spoilers.
Oh, yeah, we should have
probably. But if you haven't seen this movie yet, then you probably weren't going to watch it anyway. So, so we kind of discussed them a little bit. The first question was, what is the main relationship in the movie? What is the main problem that the couple faced? Are any of these problems similar that the two of the couple, like us, me and Mel, have faced? Going through the couples just real quick, I wrote some notes down. Dave and Ronnie just have everyday life. That's the couple. That's their problem. That I think they take each other for granted.
They do. They don't find time for each other.
Right. They just feel like that life is what it is. I got to work. I got to take care of the kids. Got the house. She does her part. I do my part. We do our thing. But we're really not. We're taking each other for granted. That we're not giving each other that part of the relationship that will grow and bud when, like we say, the kids leave the house.
Yeah, they don't have time for themselves. It's like they're putting everything into the house and their kids, and they've lost sight of courting each other, of, like, having a relationship. Because even when they first get there, she thinks that it's so romantic to go see the waterfall, and he's just kind of like, whatever.
Yeah.
And ends up not going to see it. Of course, you know, later on they do, but
His shark attack is really bugging him back.
Yeah.
But that's what it is when you take the other person for granted, all your things are more important than the others.
It's like
you know, it's me, and it's not a narcissistic thing. It's just a take for granted. It's like you become so self-centered, and what you're going to see, I think, what plays out in this movie a lot in this couple and Jason and Cynthia is that the both of the women are starting to see something that they need, and the guys still haven't opened their eyes.
Yeah, we should preface that the whole thing is like they all went on this trip thinking that they're supporting Jason and Cynthia,
yeah,
but that their relationships are fine. Now, Joey and Lucy know that their relationship's not well.
But they're playing.
But they're playing it, but they also kind of don't care. Like, yeah. they're just going for the thing. I mean, they're trying to, like, hook up with other, get with other people while they're on the trip.
Yeah.
But Dave and Ronnie literally just think that they're going and they're just going to support their friends. So it's through the therapy and through the questions that all of a sudden Ronnie's like, well, damn, like.
Well, and that's because when you're in everyday life and you're doing, and everything seems to be working, mm-hmm. everything's fine because you're doing, and you're successful at it. You're making the money that you need from your job. The kids are being successfully raised.
Yes.
She's taking care of all the stuff that's not at his work. So, I mean, it's a successful family business, but there's no relationship there.
It's one of those relationships that to me looks perfect on Instagram. But then when you start like taking off the layers of it, you start seeing that there are holes in it. Do you know what I mean? Not that they perceive it to be that way.
Well,
but
they
it looks ideal.
Well,
they've
and
got
I think,
the house. He's got a great job. He works for Guitar Hero. She's a stay-at-home mom. They've got these two kids. They're throwing birthday parties. I mean, on paper, it looks absolutely perfect.
Well, because for them, it is because
works, yeah.
Well, I mean, but it is. It's not like they're faking it. They're not doing anything mm-hmm. wrong. It's just this. It affects the romantic, intimate part of their relationship.
Yes, absolutely.
Every other part of their relationship is great. They're great friends. They do things well. They. I mean, it's a seamless family unit. But again, when the kids are grown and gone, what happens to that? So Joey and Lucy, we both know the sweethearts. What are their problems? Well, they don't love each other. They've
fallen out. I don't even know if they ever did, really.
Well, I'm sure they did.
Maybe
when
they did.
Yeah. And I think there has to be some sort of love for each other to stay together that long, because even people who hate each other will absolutely leave and don't care about if they stay for the children. But their relationship is strong enough between each other to know that they're a great mom and great dad, and they're going to do everything they can to make sure the daughter is raised. So that is the common bond, which can mend a relationship if they really want it. Spoiler, of course, everybody's happy in the end because it's a fucking rom-com. I mean, everybody's always happy, which is weird to me. Not all rom-coms are like that, but this one kind of is.
Yes. And I would say in my own life, pre-you, that would be the one I'd most relate to. With my ex.
Yeah.
Only because that's kind of true. We were started dating in college, and then ended up, you know, kind of with one kid. Not that, you know, we had her later, but that kind of feeling of, like, just changing and falling out of love, and other things have happened. So I think that's the one that I would most relate to in that situation. I don't really think any of these are really you and I so much.
Well, no, because well, we're new. We've only been married for a few months.
Technically, we'd be in the study.
we should do this study.
Maybe this is going to help us.
We talked about JC and Cynthia. Their problem was infertility. I think also communication. I think there's a lot of things going on there. It's never one thing. Let's be honest.
No,
when
it's
a relationship
not.
Is going bad, it's not just one thing. There's multiple things that are causing it. But there's usually, you can find a root, you know, and infertility is not the root of this one. Even though I think it pulls it out, like, where she's like, you know, I'm the problem, I'm the reason.
Yeah, that she said that she feels like he blames her, like, because he's so numbers-oriented and so, like you said, so, like, if we do this, this happens. If we do this, this happens. If we do this, this happens. That she feels like a failure in his eyes, and that, you know, even though he's not saying that to her, that's how she feels because he acts the way that he does towards her.
Yeah,
like, they never processed it. It's like it's just like factual.
The thing. There's no exploring the emotions because you think when they're in the therapist session, and God, Ken Young is just great.
Oh, he's so.
But
good.
He's like, one word feelings. Just tell her just one word.
They didn't even give him at the beginning.
Right, and it's like you just give one word feelings. Like, you know, I'm angry, confused, sad.
Yeah.
You know, excited.
They gave like four words, and then he was like, "Okay, that's it for today." And they're like, "We did good. We did good." Like, they were so funny.
Well, but the thing was is that. Where he was like, you know, Jason's first word was angry, and then she said what she said, and, you know, and then they did a couple, and, you know, Ken was like, okay, we're done.
Yeah.
And he's like, so how do we do
it?
He's like, he's like, y'all did good. And he goes, so we did good. Great. Excited. And then he's like, excited. And then he's like, oh, so, and he turns to Kristen Bell and he's like, hey, let's do this again tonight. Let's just do this instead of enjoying everything about where they were at, enjoying each other. He wanted to focus on that because he got a gold star. Like, I got a gold star at painting, so I want to paint more.
Yeah.
You know,
he's the kid who gets the trophy. All the kids get the trophy. There's the product of that.
Yeah. So it's, and then you have Shane and Trudy, because right now Jennifer is not in the picture yet, but that's his divorced wife. He's still hung up on his wife. his ex-wife. He still loves her. He is basically rebounding to Trudy, who he met a 20-year-old girl in the mall, and it's probably stroking his ego a little bit. But she wants to do everything because she's 20, and he's older, and he's tired, and he doesn't want to do anything. So yeah. What you see is I think it's less about
their relationship.
It's less about their relationship and more about him trying to discover himself through that relationship. Yes. To figure out what he really
even
wants.
Even when they're sitting in their therapy session, he's going on and on about his relationship with Jennifer, and the lady that's their counselor's like, well, you know, looking at the two of them, he goes, oh, no, that's my girlfriend. I'm talking about my wife, my ex-wife.
Yeah.
She's like, then why are you guys together? Because he was just talking about how all the stuff but that was wrong in their relationship.
What I think you see in this one is a divorced couple. Mainly you see the side of him, the divorced guy.
Which I thought was kind of interesting. I thought that was kind of cool that they did that instead of the woman. You know what I mean? I thought it was kind of a different thing.
Honestly,
about it.
it's more normal than people let on because everybody thinks all masculinity guys divorce, they just go on about their business. But I think more guys are devastated about divorce than sometimes women are.
But I appreciate that they actually did it
for
the movie. Do you know what I mean?
No, yeah, absolutely.
Being the movie that it is, they could have had the girl in there and have the younger boy. I thought it was kind of cool that they did that with a guy.
Yeah, so what you see is a trip of self-discovery for him. Mm-hmm. Basically, through the relationship with Trudy, he will discover himself, and which will lead to a different story ending altogether. Mm-hmm. We'll get that in a second. But as far as this one, those are the main couples that each couple faced, or these are the main problems that each couple faced.
Yeah, they are the main problems.
Too. Yeah. They are their own problem.
They are.
So the third question is this... Did this couple strive to understand each other? Did they tend to accept one another, even if they were very different, or did the couple tend to attack each other's differences? So I want to jump to, just because it's the obvious one, Joey and Lucy. They attacked each other. Like, they could never have a conversation without even arguing. Like, even at the end of the movie when, you know, it was time for their romantic movie happy ending to happen, they're arguing. Still arguing and yelling at each other because
about going to Applebee's.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to go to Applebee's by myself. Well, you don't have to go to Applebee's by yourself.
Yeah.
So, are you asking me to Applebee's?
But they were looking everywhere else for
from the masseuses to the
They didn't never want they
the
did
pamphlet.
Not, well, see, the thing is that they didn't want to understand each other.
Yes, I would agree.
So they were always going to attack each other because they did not care about the relationship. So when you're in a relationship and you realize there is no hope, like you're staying there for something other than that person, you're only making it worse. You're 95% of the time, I believe, and that's a statistic that I'm pulling out of my ass.
Oh.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's the University of Poop. it's what's the matter you?
What's the matter you?
What's the matter you? Because you know, what's the matter you? That's Rocky and Bullwinkle. That's where Bullwinkle went to college.
Oh yeah.
What's the matter you?
What's the matter me?
So it's going to end up and leave a very bitter and resentful relationship if you stay into a place that absolutely neither one of you want to be there. Like, you can't even stand each other.
Well, and they know that they're cheating on each other too. I mean, that was, you know, a given too. They get that. They aired that out too.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're looking elsewhere. They're not looking or concentrating on their own relationship.
They did not find
a
way.
Putting it out there for everybody, you know,
they weren't,
for somebody else.
They weren't striving to accept each other, to understand each other,
no,
to do
not
anything.
In the least bit. Mm-mm.
Now, with Ronnie and Dave, she was wanting to open the communication. She really wanted to make herself understood. She really wanted to make things better. But they started at first, everything was deflection. Like, they deflected. Like, no, we got a great relationship.
Humor a lot of times too. Do you know what I mean? Humor to deflect.
Well, yeah, of course.
He's a funny guy, even in the movie.
Yeah,
I mean, he's funny.
Yeah.
Our kids pooping and peeing in the toilet in the hardware store.
But
even when you first meet them, she's taking him. She wants him to come and go to the hardware store to do the tile.
Yeah.
He doesn't really care about the damn tile. He tells her he doesn't care.
Yeah.
But he's so checked out, even in that whole scene, because his friends are calling. He's checked out. I just think it's just like, I don't know. Sometimes I felt like he thought it was just her work. Like, that's her thing to deal with. That's her thing to have to handle. He doesn't want. He doesn't have.
Well, they have compartmentalized relationship duties. He does this part. She does this part.
Yeah.
And they're so worn out from all of it. She's looking for some And I think that's way of her reaching out to spend time with him. Yes. But he doesn't see it like that. He's right. Missing the point.
Yeah, yeah.
So therefore,
that's a good point.
This trip is like in her mind is like, oh, this is a good idea.
Spend time together. It's yeah. Awesome. And he's like totally checked out.
Yeah, because he's just like, whatever. It's just a break. It's a vacation. Tile. Yeah. So they deflect. I think it takes them longer. It takes him longer because she starts to break down to where she realizes, oh, there's something wrong. Now it's time to get this right. But it wasn't until, it's a movie. It's scripted to leave you. I mean, because if he figured it out in the middle of the movie, their relationship, you get kind of bored of that. So they got to leave enough drama in the movie to make sure you're following it.
Well, but they all end up fighting at some point to the point where the girls separate from the boys. And that's when this realization of all their relationships happen.
It's the perfect movie script.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you got to have...
The boys are on the search for their women.
You got to have the introduction. You got to have the climax. And you got to have, the finish. You know, that's the thing about it. And then, like we talked about with Jason and Cynthia, it's just the classic power couple dynamic where, everything's based off facts, based off numbers. It's not about emotions. It's not about feelings. We're not going to put that stuff into it because that stuff doesn't produce results.
You can't have data on it. There's no data on our emotions.
You can't produce real results with emotions. You have to have the hard evidence, the hard data there, like you said. And then, of course... Poor Shane. They're just in a different place. Trudy and him are different places. Yeah. There's no striving to meet each other because she wants what she wants and he just can't keep up.
And he is like living outside of where his comfort zone is. Like he's bought a motorcycle. What did he buy, a motorcycle?
Yeah.
The beginning, he bought a motorcycle. They're trying to do yoga. He's like, nah, I just want to rest. Yeah. She wants to go.
Right.
They're riding bicycles and he's like, is this all uphill? Like right. He's just not having the time. Well, I mean, you know, she's loving it.
Yeah, because she's young and he's not.
Yeah. And we should mention there's two sides of the resort, too, because that plays into it. So there's Eden West.
Which is where the couples go.
Where the couples go.
Yep.
And then Eden East is across this waterway or so. And it's the couples, it's the singles scene. And so at the end of the movie, when we were talking about how they separate, they go to find Trudy. Trudy has taken off from Shane, and she is hanging out in Eden East because why would
she's
not?
Because partying.
She's partying. The party side. They could see the lights going off. Exactly. And, of course, what's his name? Who was Lucy? What's his name?
John Favreau?
Yeah, his character.
Yeah.
He's been trying to get over there the whole time because Joey saw some hot-looking girls that he's been trying to get over there. So, of course, he's all for going over there to go save Trudy.
Yeah.
He just wants to whatever.
Yep.
And then Lucy, of course, is, hitting on Salvador, the yoga instructor.
Oh, boom. Yeah.
Encouragement.
Encouragement. Boom.
Ooh, I like your peacock chest.
I like your peacock chest.
I like your peacock chest. We'll do it. I love that. That is my favorite scene in the whole movie, though.
Yeah, that's a pretty good scene.
I'm telling you, it's just freaking hilarious.
It's really worth to see that scene. Absolutely.
It is, because it's look at you, big peacock man. Peacock chest.
boom, I give you encouragement.
Yeah, he's basically humping all the women.
Yeah.
And that does stir up some stuff, though. That does start doing the little emotion stuff there for some of these dudes, because this guy is,
Well, except for Jason Bateman, because he thinks it's all...
It's analytical. It's all a process.
It's all a process. Come here and show me how it's done. And he's like getting humped. He's humping her while he's getting humped by the dude. I mean,
so
it's just
funny.
It's just ridiculous.
He's like, oh yeah, am I doing this right? Is my neck right? Is my whatever.
Yeah, he it's all about
the guy is literally dry humping his wife.
Yeah.
And he doesn't care. Even see it. He doesn't even see it.
No, and she's looking up like, holy hell, this dude is just like
rubbing his balls on me.
Yeah.
That is the best part of that movie, though. It's just funny.
Now, where me and Mel have been married a long time, it also asks in what ways was this or these relationships similar to or different from your own relationship? They're pretty much different from ours in almost every way.
Oh, yeah. None of those relationships are even remotely like ours. We're clearly not dealing with infertility because there is no...
We do deal with infertility.
Well,
because we cannot have kids.
We cannot have children, but we're
not
okay
having
with
them.
It.
Yeah, we're okay with not having children.
I mean, and we're not divorced now. I mean, that's been closed, and I mean, clearly.
I think we could find similarities in our past relationships.
Absolutely. Like I said, the high school sweetheart ones that hit, and staying together for the kid, like that hits home to me.
Yep.
But, we don't hate each other the way that they do, nor did we look for outside relationships, but I mean, those are, I could see that though.
Yeah,
for sure. I'd say if anything, and I wouldn't even think it's even true, would be just a day-to-day life thing, but we've made ways to not get to that point.
Everybody has to deal with day-to-day, everyday life. I mean,
that's just not where we are, you know, with each other.
Well, but we don't take each other for granted either.
No, not at all.
We realize that we both have value, and we make sure we know each other, that we appreciate that value.
Yeah.
That's the difference. It's not that you don't, like, we do everyday life. Everybody does everyday life.
Right.
Everybody goes to work. You're going to come home. Absolutely. You're going to be tired. You got to do the dishes. You got to come record the podcast. You got to record a YouTube video.
Make dinner. Work out.
You got to do all the things. And that doesn't leave you a lot of time in the day to spend, like, quote unquote, quality time with each other. But if you understand how to make the most out of the time that you have together, even like us podcasting, this is our time to kind of talk. And
yeah, I mean, we're clearly having conversations and talking about things. And then we find ways in the evenings to...
Yeah.
Wind down at least a couple hours a night just to watch TV and hang out with each other and
talk.
We cook dinner with each other almost every night.
Yeah. But we also understand that life is there.
Yeah.
And we make sure we do the little things for each other
throughout the whole day.
Yeah. And the week and the month. And then there's times that the big things will happen. But we're not having to do these grandiose gestures all the time to make up for this, like, oh my God, we're not spending enough time together. Because. Agreed. I think we put in our minds in the very beginning, like we've talked about before, that this is life, this is how it is. So let's not try to pretend that this is going to be a fairy tale relationship, that it's always going to be the highs and it's always going to be the butterflies.
On vacay.
and it's definitely not that way, because motherfucker, you work.
Yeah.
And when you go to work and come home, there's a little bit of de-stressing that has to happen. You get that. Now, me, I come home. For my ride from work, now I'll tell you what I do. This is okay. So you say, how can I show my partner value? How can I find a way to let her know or let him know that the everyday life is there, but I'm not going to let that affect me? So my strategy to my life with Mel is this, and I don't even know she knows this. Every day from work, I come home, I drive fast. Well, she knows I drive fast.
Yeah.
But I try to take all my aggression out in speed. Which is not dangerous and it's not illegal, but I'm very focused on driving. I play the right music and I get everything out within that 13 minutes.
Yeah,
I'm coming home. So when I walk in the door, I put my stuff down. Now I have a routine when I come home. I clean my lunchware out. I throw the trash away. I make sure I put my coat up, put my keys up. If I have my bag, I hang my bag up.
Yes.
And then I go to complete asinine foolishness.
Yeah. And there's a smooch in there too.
Yep. There's always a smooch in there, but I try to bring a level of humor, because I know her day may have been bad. It may not, but most of the time it is not her most pleasant day. But I try to erase the badness from the air. I try to get rid of the negativity with me acting a complete fool.
And I'm good if I've exercised. If I haven't exercised, I'm kind of not in a good place.
Yeah, but my job
but
is...
But you are. You do great.
Yeah, I just...
I see all your moves.
Yeah, I bring all...
No, you are.
The dad dance moves.
You do.
And they're terrible.
Dancing for dollars, babe.
Yeah.
Gotta get me some more ones.
But, so, moving on. Question 4 is, did the couple have strong feelings with each other? Were they able to support each other through the bad moods, the stressful days, the hard times? Did they listen to each other like good friends? Did the couple in the movie do considerate or affectionate things for each other? So these are a lot of questions for a lot of people. And we kind of talked about
those
this.
Those are some good questions, though.
Those are some good questions, and this is not the right movie for all these questions, because...
No, it's not.
We're covering a lot of different people. We just like the variety of couples that are in this
but
movie.
But what I like most about these questions, though, is that these questions would lend themselves to having a conversation within your own relationship.
Right.
And
so,
which is obviously the hopes of this study in the first place, is like you have this movie as this example, then it could potentially add questions like, well, when I watched this, I thought, you know, da da da. So I do love that these are the questions that they have, because those are very viable questions for any relationship.
Well, I think it's good.
Anything.
I think these are good questions for all movies, because you're right. It will spur conversation in the couple that is watching a movie.
And you're not being so vulnerable because you're using the movie to be able to therefore share your thoughts.
I think it's good because you speak about the movie first, and then it's like, okay, now in which way is this relationship similar to yours or different from yours?
I love that.
So it gets you a chance to talk about it. So you're exploring these open-ended questions like, did the couple have a strong friendship with each other? So let's take Dave and Ronnie. We'll use Dave and Ronnie as the example. Yeah, they have a great friendship.
I would say absolutely.
Great friendship. They know what they're doing. Everything's working well. So I think they have a great friendship. Were they able to support each other through the bad moods, the stressful days, and hard times? I'm going to say she did, but he couldn't.
I would agree with you completely.
Because he was very self-centered in what was going on. And most men are in that case when they're working and they got all the job and the stress. And it's like, oh, my God, I can't deal with this anymore. And it's all about me. But
that poor woman is a stay-at-home mom, and she's dealing with those children. She's got her own stresses that he's not taking into consideration.
Yeah, I mean, the kid poops and pees in the toilet at Lowe's.
Yeah, word.
I mean, that's funny as hell.
It is kind of funny.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be the one cleaning that shit up, though,
honestly. Literally.
But yeah, I see that they support each other, but it's more on her end than it is on his end, for darn sure.
So this is one of those movies where the couple has problems throughout. So you're going to have one-sided, like, at least one person in the relationship is going to be like, no. Like, did they listen to each other like good friends? No, they did not. Even though they had a strong friendship, the listening part was terrible, especially for him.
No, because she would try to talk to him about things.
And you know, oh, my God, I got brushed by a shark, so now I have a shark attack.
Yeah,
he can't get over that. He cannot get over that.
And it was a scrape, by the way.
Yeah.
And he had a Band-Aid.
Did they do considerate, affectionate things for each other? He did at the end, I think, when he realized. I think there's a point of realization, which, again, movie writing, there is. And then, bam, there it is. Yay. You know, everything's good.
I do like when he walks across a little club thing and, like, pretends like he's hitting on her.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was really cute. And he said that, like, where have you been or whatever. And he says that, I can't remember the exact line of it, but something or other. She's redheaded, obviously, in the movie. And he makes a little comment that he's been, like, stupid in love or something with a redhead. And I thought that was just really sweet.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they finally get to see the waterfall.
Yeah. And the same thing with the other couples.
And he kind of is apologetic at that point. Yeah. He realizes he's kind of been a douche.
Yeah. And this is a part where, you know, and we're using couples as retreat just because she loves the movie. And there's a lot of couples. And we can break it. Yeah. And we can break it down, you know, with just couples. But it's not a really good movie to do this with, I think.
Oh, Lord, no. Mm-mm.
This is way too much for a couple to do. So I'm going to say, if you're going to do this, don't do it with Couples Retreat. And if you do it with Couples...
Question 5 you're talking about?
Well, the whole shebang. I mean, I think it gives you a chance to talk. Maybe it gives you a chance...
I mean, you could, though. What I would suggest, though, is to find the couple that you most...
Well, I was going to say that because it gives you variety of couples. It gives you a chance to... Maybe one of these couples... Yeah, it gives you a chance to relate.
Your relationship could be, you know, a cross between a couple of them. And so, therefore, those questions might be kind of helpful. I mean, for us, it doesn't make much sense because we're not really relating to the couples in those regards. But
yeah,
I could see where those questions would be really helpful, though.
No, the questions are good.
I think they're great.
So, in question number 5 is, how did the couples handle arguments or differences of opinion? As you can tell, they were all pretty much standoffish with each other. Some thought they were doing the right thing. Some just said, to hell with you. The other ones deflected. I mean, there was a completely different array of approaches.
Another good question, though, because if you think about it, the intent of these questions is how... Number 4 is all communication. Number 5 is communication, but it's when dealing with fighting and dealing with conflict. You would have a good conversation with somebody, especially, you know, talking about how you argue or how things need to be handled in those situations. These questions are actually really good. I'm actually impressed with them.
So they also says, were they able to open up and tell each other how they really felt, or did they just tend to snap at each other with anger?
And that's Lucy and Joey, 100%.
Yeah. Did they try to use humor from getting nasty? Did they feel like they were trying to understand each other? So these are some places where it was like yes and no questions, not very open-ended, but it gives you a chance to go, okay, so this is how they dealt with it. Did they do these things? And then you can ask yourself, well, do we do these things? Are these the things we do? You know, I think, not to take this too long, but I think what we find in this movie is a very sappy unrealistic happy ending and everything. Like we said, Shane.
Yeah, I mean, everybody ends up back together. And I really don't think Joey and Lucy in real life would get back together.
No,
I just don't. They're so far gone, in my opinion.
I think Shane, you know, Shane follows Trudy to
East. Yes, yes.
And then his ex-wife is actually there looking for him because she thought he was at the singles place. And he was actually at the couple's place. And she's like, you know, oh, you know, I've realized I had to leave you to realize I appreciate you. And I think a lot of people do that. I think a lot of people realize when they leave each other, mm-hmm. it's kind of like that. You don't know what you got till you're gone.
I wish they would have said that they were separated and not divorced. Yeah. Do you think they had to do that so that he can have the girlfriend?
Yeah.
Is why they did that. Because
I do.
In my opinion, if you went through the whole process of a divorce, like, how did you not have that conversation? Or how
I know,
did you not talk
well,
about this
I know
conversation?
I know a lot of people who were divorced. I guess so. And they were divorced for a couple of years and then realized
it wasn't that great.
Well, I go back to the old Cinderella song. You don't know what you got.
Oh, my Lord. I mean, it does happen. People do that.
Come on now.
I wish I had my lighter. I'd be
hell yeah.
Nothing in my hair for you, babe. That was hot.
Hair music ballads.
There you go.
Rock ballads. 1995. 1-800. Get love.
Silly ass.
But seriously, it's
yeah, I could see that.
It's that very thing.
If there's anything I actually feel, so which couple do you feel is the most realistic? Dave and Ronnie. But I also think that Shane and Jennifer's could be.
I think that's a very realistic thing, but the way it was brought about,
it was a little cheesy.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, like, kind of, like, they could do the next step. Like, I could see where that would happen.
I'm glad it wasn't Shane and Trudy, like, you
together
know,
at the end.
Yeah, I love the way that ended.
Yes.
Bringing the ex-wife in, they didn't have to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
But they did it to make a complete circle of happy endings.
Yeah, yeah, I get that. Yeah, Dave and Ronnie's was the best. I don't think that Joey and Lucy, that's realistic. I just don't.
And with...
Well, what about Cynthia and
Jason?
Jason? Why don't I remember what they came up with?
Well, I think he just realized that he was taking her for granted at the communication level.
Oh.
And they kind of made up for that. But again, I think that's a couple that was on the fritz. I mean,
how does that handle the infertility? I mean, that's the unrealistic thing. But like, how does that happen to, how does that like handle the infertility thing that was such an issue for them? Or do you really think
but
that
it
the
wasn't,
communication was the
that
issue?
That was the infertility. The problem with the infertility was a symptom, not the root. The root was the bad communication.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that.
Most time, the problems that people see in relationships are only symptoms, but not the root. I mean, you know, you might have COVID, but, you know, you got a runny nose.
Yeah.
You got a cough. Is it COVID or is it sinuses or is it allergies? What is the root? It displays a bunch of different things.
Yeah, yeah.
The symptoms could be mean.
That just adds to the fire.
Right. So it's just a symptom of the problem.
Do you think that realistically, I know it's make-believe. I mean, I get that. Do you think that would be, that they could overcome what they've been at, just given what they did?
If he makes a drastic change with some real therapy.
Yeah.
I mean, any of those relationships are mendable if you want. And this is the thing. Relationships are mendable and doable if both parties have the desire to stay,
mm-hmm.
and understand the work that they're going to put in is real, but it's not going to be work that makes you obligated. It mm-hmm. shouldn't be work through obligation. It should be work through desire. It should be work through want. It shouldn't be, I have to do this. It should be, I want to do this. Anytime you get in a relationship and you start saying, I have to do these things, then you start finding your place very outside the relationship, because now you feel obligated to do these things and it takes away the love. It takes away the passion. It takes away the desire mm-hmm. for that person.
Yeah. It becomes work
because it becomes about you. Now I have to do this because I want this.
Well, there's resentment in that.
Yeah. I have to do this because, you know, for me, not, I have to do this for that person. I have to do this because I want, you know,
no,
I want,
trust me, I live that one,
you know, but that's my thing. It's getting past that so you don't have the resentment.
Yeah, and you obligation. Don't want somebody just to do it for the sake of doing it to make you happy when they don't want any part of it either.
But the problem is that people see relationships as an obligation to make work, no matter how bad it is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can tell people all day long that person shouldn't stay in that relationship because he's abusive, whether it's physical, mental, or verbal. Well, that person's abusive. You shouldn't stay in it. But there's the emotional abuse that may happen may not be so direct or so open. It's like, this person just plays video games all day and I'm working as hard as I can by making dinner and I'm giving my affection and I'm working out to look prettier. I'm doing all the things for this person. And this is just a hypothetical thing. But this person is abusing that person emotionally because, and it's not direct or it's not intent, it's just who they are. Mm-hmm. And at some point you got to go, this is not working. And that other person who's doing all the work, putting all that effort in, is going to be resentful of that person.
Yeah.
Because they feel like they've done everything. But the problem is that where we look at that relationship and we blame it all on the guy who's playing video games or the girl who's playing video games, and we say the other person's doing everything right, mm-hmm. at the same time, that's a false statement. Because if they were doing it right, they would stop and say, look, we need to have a real if they've never stopped and said, we have to have a real conversation, real communication about what's going on here to figure this out, then they're just as much at fault too, because they're trying to do everything that's not working for that person. Obviously, there's a disconnect. So unless right. you figure out what the disconnect is, you're going to consistently be wrong. You're going to consistently be at fault. This is where understanding that relationships fall apart, majority of those fall apart based on two-person fault, not one.
Yeah, I would
there
agree.
Are relationships that are one-person fault. But at the same time, most relationships don't break up because it's just all on one person. It's because there's a deficit in both people. And both of those people did not understand how to make it manageable, mendable,
or they don't take blame, repairable. Or they don't think that's their fault, or they don't feel like they have to be the one to.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Meet the person halfway. Do you yeah. know what I mean? Either.
Well, again,
I agree.
It'll come down.
No,
to
I don't think any relationships are a one-sided thing. I mean, I honestly think even, and it's pretty shitty, but I think even in a situation where a spouse cheats on somebody else, I think even in those situations, I don't think that somebody willingly goes outside of the relationship without there being problems.
I still think there are some relationships that are all on one person. I mean, you think about an abusive husband. That's all on him.
Yeah, but I still think the person's, even the person cheating, abusive is different. But I'm talking about cheating. I'm not talking about abuse.
I'm not saying cheating either. I think there's places where a man cheats just because he wants to. I think
really?
There's some...
You don't think there's something that's wrong with their relationship that they don't have a conversation, that they're not willing. It's way easier just to step out than it is to have a conversation.
But
with
that's
their,
on that person who's stepping out. If that other person in the house is doing all the stuff that they need to do, they don't know that person's missing.
Well,
a
why
need.
Aren't they having a conversation? I mean,
well, they don't know. How many women are surprised when their husband cheats on them, or how many husbands are surprised when their wife cheats on them, when they're thinking, I'm doing everything right? That's when it's all on that person. If you step outside of your marriage to cheat without having conversations beforehand, or you step out, okay, I'll say it like this, whether it's sexual, emotional, whatever it is.
Yeah, but you got to know you're not having sex or you're not having an emotional relationship with your husband.
I know some men who are having sex with their wives all the time and go cheat.
Yeah, well, that's something else.
Again, it's not always a cut and dry thing. It's not like, hey, you know, there's, this person is stepping out of a relationship because they're not having enough sex. And they're like, no, that's not always it. I still think there are times where women are doing, or men are doing, what they need to do in the relationship, and the other person just steps out because they, and I'll say this. Yes. A relationship. Let's just use the hypothetical that a man cheats on his wife because he feels like he's not getting enough from her.
Okay.
But the woman is available all the time, but he, you know,
but available and being willing to do are two different things.
Again, available and willing, period.
Okay.
Okay. But the disconnect is him. There's something wrong with him not wanting to do that with her. Or there's just some disconnect, or maybe it's kids and you don't have enough time. But the problem is if he's feeling this way, like he's got to step up.
You should have a conversation.
Okay. She doesn't know that there's a problem.
But see, I also, not that I'm putting blame on somebody in regards, but I also think at some point you have a temperature of what your relationship's like.
Most people don't.
Well, that's a shame.
Well, no, it's not a shame. How long in a relationship did you go on not, sometimes people go on for months, years maybe, before they realize, hold on, something, there's a problem in a relationship because there's other factors in the relationship,
yeah.
especially when there's kids. You don't see that between the two people because you have kids and all your focus is on those kids. Or both people are professionals and they work all the time making this. And then one day they realize, holy shit, I've been so distracted by this that there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many variables. See, we are fantasized by movies in a sense that we should recognize all these problems because we see these things happen in movies mm-hmm. over a course of 2 hours where our lives are not over the course of 2 hours. And yeah. that's the problem. We, and not just we, but most people can look back and go, look at a relationship. Well, there's the problem. But 90% of the time, those people are saying, Leah, I see the problem in your relationship, but they can't see the problem in their own relationships. Mm-hmm. Some of us can, some of us can't. Some of us work hard to try to make, okay, we realize there's something wrong, so we're going to do everything we can. But we get to the point where we're so hard working on a relationship, we start to miss that there's a bigger problem than what we're working on. So we really don't see it and realize that the relationship's not going to work anyways. You're putting all this effort into something that's just the you're putting Band-Aids on the Titanic as it goes down. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the thing. There's so many relationships are so fluid and so they're so fluid because there's not one thing that can fit every mold. Now you'll find similarities in relationships that you can say, oh, you know, this, that, and the other. But at the end of the day, they're so fluid and so different. Like each scenario that we could say, okay, cheating, but there are so many different scenarios when it comes
true.
To cheating.
That is true.
Like, how do you, like, could it be both person's fault? Absolutely. Could it be just one person's fault?
No,
absolutely.
I mean, I know people are blindsided by it all the time. And right. They have no earthly idea that that's what's going on at all by any means and having no inkling that something's the case.
Because we're taught, and this is mainly speaking to our generation, we're taught that, you know, you go to school, you grow up, you get a job, you get married, you have family,
yeah.
and you don't get divorced. I mean, that's the thing, you know. Even my parents got divorced, but, you know, you still are pushed into not getting divorced. So you do the things in a relationship, and sometimes you tend to overlook things or try to put things aside because you want to stay in that place. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So we miss... As a society, especially in our generation, we miss the ability to understand how to look at a relationship and what we should be doing in relationships. Now, over the years, since, you know, especially in the past five or six years, especially in my life, I've realized there's a lot of resources for people to build and become stronger in a relationship. So we talked about books on the show. This mm-hmm. study is one of them.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things. But I think one of the places is for people to build up their emotional intelligence, mm-hmm. to be emotionally intelligent, to understand, one, their own emotions, to understand how to display and communicate their emotions, but also how to be able to accept and communicate or receive feedback from others on their emotions. You know, you can put those two places together, and then your relationships will be different. That's when, like me and you, we've kind of developed a ability to try to be more emotionally smarter about ourselves and about each other.
Yeah, I'm extremely emotionally intelligent.
Right.
I'm overly, sometimes.
Well, I'm not just...
Like, even my own self. I'm not saying emotional. I'm saying emotionally intelligent. Like,
well, no, no,
I feel
no, yeah.
like I... Well, I'm an empath anyway, so I already feel all that.
Right. But even just to be aware...
Yeah, yeah.
I think the big thing is to be
aware.
But
maybe that's why I struggle with that, because I am so in tune to those kind of things. Like, I pick up on nonverbal cues. I pick up on emotional things. I pick up on those things. So I guess for me, I would see things, I think.
Where I had to study and learn how to be that way.
Yeah.
I'm not aware.
Yeah.
I am not aware.
Sometimes I wish I wasn't, because then it's my own worst enemy thing in my head.
Well, it is, because, I mean? Like, because
I,
you put...
I pick up on things that I... Then I put scenarios with those things, and
you
that's
put,
the problem.
You put undue stress and unrealistic...
Yeah, oh, 100%.
Expectations on
things. I read into things way more than yeah. I need to.
When most of the time, it's nothing. Like, we've had those conversations. I mean,
no,
just between
totally
me and you.
We've totally had those conversations, because I...
Like, you're like...
I read into things differently with you. I'm fine now.
Oh, yeah,
it
because
took me a really freaking long time.
Because
to
you realize
that
I'm
out.
Like, because
no,
you realize
you're just
I'm
face value.
You realize I'm a fucking slug. Like, what's wrong with you? Nothing. Like,
there's like that.
I'm a slug.
Like, I get vibes from you. Like, I do. Like, I would get stuff. Now I'm fine. Like, it's totally fine. Like, my weird emotional meters don't all like go haywire around you. But like at the beginning, trying to like. Get them to calm themselves down when, you know, it takes a little while.
Well, the crazy thing is I'm an emotional sleeve person. So you know if I'm mad. You know if you
yes, but it took me a while to figure that out. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't. You show emotions in exactly the way that they're supposed to. Like, you know what I mean. Like, you don't hide them. They're no. They're there.
So if I'm plain face.
I'm plain face.
There's nothing behind the curtain. There is nobody right. behind the curtain controlling this. Right. There is no. This is not the Wizard of Oz.
Where I would take normal people or yeah. any other buddy, not normal, but you know what I mean? Like people that are quiet, like what are they thinking? What are they, something must be bothering them, whatever thing is.
It's that meme. You know, she's laying yeah. in bed and yes. I bet you he's thinking about other girls.
I wonder if I could beat my score on whatever that racing game is yeah. you play.
how can I make that corner right yes. in Gran Turismo? You know, but yeah, but most of the time it's like I spend a lot of time in my life just with the nothing box. We, yeah. I don't know if you've ever heard that phrase, the nothing mm-hmm. box. Like they used to say, all guys have a nothing box where they can go to this place where nothing's going on in their brain. Like, what are you thinking about? Nothing. How can you be thinking about nothing? I can absolutely be thinking about nothing. But then I went through my very illmatic fucking mental health issues and I lost my nothing box. Like, yeah. oh my God, my nothing box is gone. So I cannot shut everything down. Mm-hmm. But through strategies and through time in therapy, which I'm pretty stoked to get back into therapy, because my nothing box has kind of diminished over the past few months sometimes. But I got to a place where my nothing box came back. I'm like, yay, I can jump in my That's nothing awesome. Box, you know? Yeah, and yeah. it's like, what do you think about? Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
And they're like, how can you be? I was like, my shit's blank like a kindergartner at nap time. Done. Yeah. Like, yeah. it's blank. There's it's nothing good, going on.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's face value. Some people always, the people who aren't face value are either they have a guard up or they're trying to fool you. It's one of two things. Mm-hmm. They're either trying to protect themselves or fool you, lie to you. I think that's the other side of it. Mm-hmm. Like there's people who are just who they are. That's me. And then there's people who have not let all their walls down where you can tell what's going on or they're trying to put on an act so you can't really figure out what's going on with them. I think that's kind of the same things, but I think it's
two different reasons. They're two different things.
Yeah. So, again, man, we've been talking for a while.
It's good stuff.
But
I like how but the good part of this whole thing is that clearly we didn't think we had anything that, you know, with these relationships for us, but it brought open some interesting things.
Well, but I think
it was a conversation for us.
But I think in everything you do when it's couple related, relationship related, just mm-hmm. like this, we're breaking this down so we can maybe somebody will hear this and go, oh yeah, okay, that can help me. We're sharing our experiences and what we've learned over the years.
By no means experts.
That's why we want a podcast. That's why we podcast is to share information.
And clearly didn't plan for our conversation to go where it did, but it did.
No, but awesome. But that's the great thing about things like these studies and mm-hmm. books and all the things we yeah. talk about, because even if the conversation does not hone in exactly where you started, if it leads you to somewhere to lead you to more self-discovery in your relationship, yeah. that's going to be a great thing. And I think Absolutely. That's exactly where this should take you. So hopefully in our next movie, we haven't decided which one it is. It'll be a surprise next week when we do it. It'll lead to more conversations and greater eye-opening discoveries, not just for us, but maybe for you as well. We hope you join along and do this. Hey, pick your own movies and tell us what yeah. movies you did.
And we'll post a link to the question so that you guys yep. can go through the questions yourselves. If you don't want to share a movie with us, that's totally
yep.
cool.
Yep, I'm going to post the link in Definitely. The description.
Yeah.
That
take
will
part in the conversation.
Yep, that will take you straight to the University of Rochester's thing. You can actually just do it there, like literally.
Yeah, it's a live thing going on right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it's a live survey.
Anytime you want yep. to.
So you can try this off as well. Don't forget to hit us up at Instagram. You can check out the post there. You can leave us what movie you would like for us to look at
and
if you're listening.
Give us your take on this. Like if you see something different in the way, if you've seen couples retreat and there's a difference in what you perceive their relationships to be, yep. hey, let us know. We'd love to hear that too.
And don't forget to go over to www.rockhippieadventures.com and check out our content there. She just posted a blog to wrap up our Breaking Barriers, Not a Series. And
yes, I did. I might do one for this too. Depends yep. if the mood hits me. I got to be in the mood to write.
Yeah. Oh, I understand. I've got so much going on. Writing is like the least of my things. We also are dropping some videos over at the YouTube channel, over at the Rock Hippie Adventures YouTube channel. We're doing our first Listen Friday videos too. We'll post some other stuff there, but we're trying to keep up with that as well. And
guess what, babe? The time change and spring's coming, so hopefully we'll start hitting up some local trails and getting back out there and doing that stuff too.
I'm just trying to adjust to the time change right now. I am so
done. But I'm so excited. Spring. Almost.
You can have spring without the time change.
It's almost the best week of the whole entire month.
You can have spring without the time change.
The best day is next Thursday of this whole month.
Well, yes, it is. It's coming up. We're getting ready to go to Texas.
Babe, you're an ass.
Yes, next Thursday is the girl's birthday.
Yes.
So I might take her and get her something special this weekend.
I'm getting my hair did that day.
Oh, well, that's great. And then we're leaving to Texas. Then I'm going to put you in a car for 20 hours.
Yeah, I get my COVID shot the day before we leave.
I get my COVID shot tomorrow.
No. Oh, do you really?
What's today? Tuesday? Oh, Thursday.
Yeah. No. Thursday.
Yeah, I can't remember.
We're anything. Vaccinating ourselves.
Yeah. Tell us if you're vaccinated. No, not really.
No.
Anyways, guys and girls, just don't forget to do the thing and listen to the show. Follow, yes, share, like, do all those things. Share it. Check us out on Instagram. Tell us what you thought. And we appreciate y'all so much. We'll see you next time on the Rock Hippie Adventures podcast, because we all want to live life bold.
Bold, babe.
Live life bold and loud.
Live life bold and loud.
Live life bold and loud, people.
Mediocrity is not an option for us, and it shouldn't be for you.
Peace, people.